podcasters. This is Tyra KM. Welcome to Questionably Insane. On today's segment, I want to discuss with you self-healing and the reason why it's important to continue to grow in your self-care. It's imperative to self-care. And this is something I was discussing with a friend of mine. I discussed this with my daughter. And I also discussed this with my therapist about self-healing. And here's the thing. You can never expect the person or situations that hurt you. You can't expect healing to come from them. It's like when you confront the person that hurt you, whether it's a spouse or a parent or a friend, what do you expect them to do? What do you expect the outcome to be? It's not going to change because it's already in the past, and you can't change the past. And whether or not they are remorseful, you're still left with your own brokenness or your own perspective of what happened. And the person or place or thing that broke you can't heal you, unfortunately. That is a real thing. It may be cold. You may say, hey, that's kind of mean, but it's real. It may be insane. But in order, we all have to heal ourselves. And we all have to heal ourselves from the things that hurt us, from the things that break us. And just because things break us, don't mean we can't put ourselves back together. Now, I'm going to say this. I never grew from comfort. I don't know about you. I'm in some of my life. I'm 47 years old. And every growth spurt experience that I've had that caused me or forced me or I chose to grow, it came from a dark place. Even from especially from childhood. Oh my God. My childhood was problematic, if I was to say. It was difficult. I had a lot of good times, even more bad times. It was like, the things that went wrong, they went really wrong. So, I'll just say one thing. When I was about, from the age of 5 to about 8, several horrific things happened in my life. And when I say horrific, you have to remember the psyche of a child. So the way you might say, oh, that's not a big deal. It's not a big deal to an adult. But to a child, it's massive. Because we always have to remember that. When you're a child, everything that happened to you is new. So it's a learning process. So trauma is new too. It's how you respond to it. And how the adults around you respond to it. This is why children, psychologists will tell you, children need structure, they need security, they need familiarity, they need routine to make them feel safe, to make themselves feel comfortable. So, my house caught on fire when I was a child. Literally, we were running. I remember my father snatching me up and carrying me under his arm like a football, and him grabbing my mother, dragging us down the stairs. We lived in a two-family flat in Detroit, Michigan. Now, I don't reckon people in the South knows what a two-family flat is, but people in the North probably does. So this is a home dwelling where there's two units, two homes that stacked on top of each other. It's like one family lives downstairs. We each have our separate, imagine an apartment or condo. Instead of side by side, it's on top of each other. So you come in through a common door, but then you go into your apartment and the people live upstairs go up the stairs into theirs. That's a two-family flat. They're very, very common in the Midwest. I know they have them. I've seen them in Ohio. I've seen them in Pennsylvania. I've seen them in Indiana. So, and definitely they are in Michigan, where I'm from. So we lived in one of those. The neighbor downstairs, she fell asleep while she was cooking, and the kitchen caught on fire, and we had to leave. Now, my mother's friend was upstairs, was in the house too, but instead of her running toward the front door to leave, she ran to the back door. Well, she ran to the back porch off the kitchen. But the fire was in the kitchen downstairs. So the fire was coming up the stairs of our house. We escaped down the stairs, had some coffee from the smoke, but me, my mother, and father were fine. My mother's friend, she was standing on the back porch of my kitchen, and my father was screaming at her. The neighbors were screaming at her, telling her to jump. She couldn't go back in because the fire had came up the stairs. So, my father, he had to cuss her out. He said, "You stupid bitch, jump!" And she jumped, and he caught her. She had a couple of scratches. As he caught her, they fell to the ground, but she was alive. We had to go and live with my uncle for a spell until they repaired my home. But when we came back for the cleanup, me and my stuffed animals had smoke damage, water damage, my books. I remember my dollhouse was destroyed. That's devastating for a child. It really, really is. And then that same year, even after they had repaired the home, the landlord, later on that year, his wife died from cancer. And he wanted to sell the two-family flat. He offered it to my father, but for various reasons, my father declined. And so we had to move. And my parents made a bad choice. They have admitted that many times. They chose to move it with a friend. Instead of getting an apartment or trying to find somewhere else to go. But they moved it with a friend. And my mother decided to take me down to Mississippi and let me stay there for a while. While I was gone, there was a second fire. Apparently the television blew up. Or there was some wiring that was wrong or something. I have no idea. But my parents, once again, they were in a fire. When I came back to Detroit, my parents were living in another friend's home in the basement. So I was living in the basement with them. And then, all of a sudden, my father got laid off work. And we lived in our car. For a few days, it wasn't long, but it was very traumatic for me. I'm being moved around, being shuffled around. There's fires, there's uncertainty. I'm only six. And my cousin, who's dead now, my cousin Henrietta, rest her soul, she found out about our living conditions and she came and got us, and we stayed with her for a good while. And that was traumatic because there were several adults in the home. It was another two-family flat. It was a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom, 2-family flat. We lived upstairs once again. But it was 8, 9 adults and me. And there were a few unsavory characters that lived there. Her boyfriend, her daughter's boyfriend, her boyfriend's son who had just got out of prison. And my mother was constantly terrified that one of these men would do something to me. So it was definitely a heightened awareness of danger. I did not quite understand why my mother was so afraid, but I knew she was afraid. There was a lot of arguing, a lot of fighting, very unstable. And then there was a big incident between my father and my cousin's boyfriend, which that was the camel that broke the, well, no, not the camel. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. My bad. And so we moved. We moved again. Now, mind you, I'm probably about 7. Yeah, I'm about 7-ish at this point. Probably about to turn 8. Yeah. So we moved to a house. My father says he knew he could afford it. I always figured, why did you buy a house you could afford? Why did you get a house in a cheaper, maybe unsafe, more less unsafe neighborhood, but it would have been something that you probably could have managed. But he said he didn't know. He said he patted under the pressure. And my father, he doesn't make the best decisions under pressure. Everybody had their flaws. I'm not here to judge him for that. That's something he had to work through. And we stayed in that home maybe a year. I turned 8. And then we moved into the new house. And then we stayed there about a year. And then we lost that home and went into foreclosure. I know I was at school one day. My mother's friend came to pick me up. She had my mother's plants in her back seat. And I'm like, why do you have my mom's plants in your back seat? She said, just get in the car. Your mother's going to explain it to you later. And she takes me to her house. And I'm like, as soon as I saw my mother just busts out crying. And I said, well, why are you crying? And my pet has your plants in the back seat. She said, we lost our home. There were other things that happened to me during that time. There was the incident of me being locked in a closet. I don't want to go into detail about that because that is probably one of the main sources of the deepest pain I've had in my life. But all this to say, these things had a huge effect on my life. And I'm only talking about a single period of my life. There were other things that happened as I got older. Sexual assault and rape and all kind of things. I ran away and just all kind of things that happened once I got older. So I'm only talking about a time period for probably 6 to 9. And that's a lot. 2 fires. Being shuffled around, losing your home multiple times, being homeless for a spell, it's a lot. And so that's one of the main reasons. I don't like instability. I don't. I like certainty and security. It makes me very uneasy to have instability in my life. That's just some of the things I have to craft to heal myself from, because my parents can't heal me from that. The situation can't heal me from that. Only me. And so just like I'm responsible for my own healing, you're responsible for yours. No one's coming to save you, and no one's coming to rescue you. But I'm always here to understand. I hope you learned something from this segment. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And as always, say, be blessed.